Well, hello, this is break time number three. I have in my hand here a small bookmark that I received at a church that we attended a number of months ago. And this is a bookmark that advertises their Stephen ministry, Christ Caring for People Through People. So this is a ministry they had in their particular church, and it was to show that they care for other people. If you need somebody to help you or to be there for you, it says at the end, don't struggle alone. Talk to a Stephen ministry leader or the pastor to allow a Stephen minister to walk with you. And as soon as I saw the word Stephen, I just instantly thought, of course, of Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7. So they have no idea why would they use Stephen for a man to go and be these things to them. For example, here it says, the caregiver's compass points Stephen ministers in the right direction on their caregiving journey. The symbol for Jesus Christ at the center of the compass, they have a little drawing here with a compass and that Catholic, by the way, symbol in the middle of that thing, reminds Stephen minister that Jesus is the source and power for the caring ministry. Well, that's actually in many ways true, but nothing like they were talking about. When they say, remind Stephen minister that Jesus is the source and power, yes, but they don't realize, and here I say this 1,000,000,000 times on the website, they need to turn to the Jesus that has risen and the teachings of that risen Jesus for the source and power for their caring ministry. They would go to people with the truth, the goodness of God, the security and the authority and the comfort of the Scriptures in the King James Bible. They could teach people how to rightly divide their Bibles, and the whole thing makes sense to them. So let me just go through this. Again, this is just break time, short little thoughts I have here. And it says here in this bookmark here, the 4 points of the compass, so 4 points of the compass there, reminded Stephen ministers to be caregivers who are compassionate. Sure, Stephen, compassionate, full of faith, skilled, and trustworthy. Applying those four things, then let's look at what Stephen was as a caregiver. We're in Acts chapter 6. To show you that somebody who called Stephen to be their caregiver, the compassionate man that he was, left out a very, very important fact about Stephen. Let's go through this here. In verse 4, but we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And we should pray without ceasing. Paul says, ministry of the word, these guys today that care for other people, they don't have the ministry of the word because they themselves don't even believe that they have the word of God, the inspired, preserved, and rightly divided scriptures. But anyways, keep going here. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. Here we go. A man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. There's more Pentecostal stuff today. Now remember, this is pre-1 Corinthians 13, 8, 9, 10. This is before the Word of God. This is before the King James Bible. Those things, Paul even laid his hands on people for them to receive the Holy Ghost. So we have to be able to rightly divide to understand what's going on here. But anyway, let's just say this for a short little break talk here. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. That'd be nice to see the pastors today become obedient to the faith of Christ, the risen Savior, to receive the faith of Jesus Christ, instead of being obedient to baptism. That's not even in the scriptures. Verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So you go through here in this chapter 6 and chapter 7, and you see, for example, in verse 10 here, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. I mean, this Stephen was quite a man. He said what needed to be said. Verse 11, then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses. So here's this Stephen guy going out and telling people the truth, the ministry of the word. and they couldn't resist what he had to say. They're not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And if you talk to people about a King James Bible rightly divided, they cannot resist what you have to say. They can dislike it, they can hate it, but they cannot resist it because there's no answer against it. So verse 11, they still do this today. Then they suborned men, which means they got them together and stirred them up. How do you know that? Because verse 12 says, and they stirred up the people. So there's the word suborn being defined within the next couple verses. So they get out there and they get upset. We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. So these guys went out there. It's just like today. You talk to somebody about a King James rightly divided Bible, the risen Savior teachings, Paul, etc., etc., and they're going to go out and say, do you know that this Paulson guy, this preacher guy, this pastor guy, he's talking against the Gospels. He's talking against Jesus in the Gospels. He's talking against the apostles. Oh, how could he do that? So he's speaking against God. And they're suborning men. They're going out there stirring these people up against yours. When we went to Ohio, before we got there, one of the local Baptist pastors suborned his congregation and other people and said the very same thing. And so they came upon him in verse 12 and caught him and brought him to the council. So right away they go after Stephen. So here's a ministry that wants to look to Stephen for their caregiving, for their compassion, for their help. And I don't think they realize the story from Stephen. So I would suggest you read chapter 6 and then read chapter 7. You'll see all the things that Stephen said to these people as he was trying to help them according to this bookmark. So if we go to people and we want to help people, and if we're going to be part of a Stephen ministry, then don't forget to explain to people what has happened over time. Don't forget to explain to people what religion has done, what's going on in the local church, what the pastors are saying, what the music is doing in the churches, what the money, the whole thing. And you will then be doing the Stephen ministry. In fact, if we go to verse 51 of chapter 7, we get what Stephen says at the end. So here you are, you're talking to these people, you're part of a Stephen ministry. Are you compassionate? Sure you are. You want to help people with the miseries that they have. You're full of faith. Yes, the faith that you have is the faith of Jesus Christ, not your own faith. Your faith and my faith wavers high, wavers low. Sometimes our faith is even built on physical blessings or physical success or physical okay happening, so then we can have strong faith. We have money, we have health. But when our health and our money declines, do you lose your faith? When your friends and family dump you, do you lose your faith? Well, we tend to do such a thing, but do we lose the faith of Jesus Christ? No, because we have the faith of Jesus Christ. So Stephen here, who's going to these people, he's compassionate. We should be compassionate. Full of faith means we're going to tell the truth through the faith that we understand. We're skilled, I guess. I don't know. You have to be. I'm not skilled at all, and I just tell people what the Bible says. I can talk and I can read. I guess that makes me skilled in today's generations, apparently. And trustworthy. Well, we need to be trustworthy. We need to, says here, maintaining confidentiality, visiting care receivers regularly, and remaining committed to their ministry. Yeah, we can do those things. But we have to remember the Stephen ministry is in Acts chapter 6 and 7. And then we're going to go to the conclusion here. This is what Stephen said when he was rejected by these people. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. He's not being mean. He's just telling the truth of their situation when they reject the risen Savior, when they reject the King James Bible, when they reject rightly dividing. We don't have to still be around to be their Stephen ministering buddy. Now, we can go through a whole different level here of the process that Paul teaches us about how to minister to other people. There's tears, there's praying, there's time, there's patience, there's long-suffering. But there does come a time from such withdraw. There does come a time where you have to rebuke and reprove. And there does come such a time where you have to just send them off to the devil. send them off to the world. We could do that on another talk, or get on the website and look up in your search there for the manner of life from Paul, and you'll run across that stuff. There's a big long list of things that we need to make sure we're doing concerning other people. But Stephen here has been through this. He's talked to these people. He's showed them. He's told them the truth. They reject him. They're suborning other people not to listen to him. And then he's going after him here. Verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They're biting him. How can you say that? Well, I believe every word to be exactly the word God wants it to be. So it says they gnashed on him with their teeth. Not just their mouth, not words, but teeth. How often do you refer to your words by referring to your teeth? No, they were biting on him. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That's pretty exciting. There's another sermon in there about why Jesus is standing. This is the only place he was standing. And it said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. So he's in the process of dying. And I've heard, you know, this is just a side. I've heard people that were close to dying. They were either running out of air, suffocating, or had fallen into the water and couldn't breathe, and they were just seconds away from dying. And yet they talk about this peace they had in the dying process, and then they didn't die. Don't say that. He's not coming back from the death, but they were close to it, and they, instead of having that fear of the dying process, they had the comfort of it's about over. And so here's an example just with Stephen. He's in the process of being bitten, and when they cried out with a loud voice, they stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul, by the way. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. There it is again. Boy, I don't think I can say stuff like that. And we had said this, he fell asleep. He died. And by the way, there was where Saul, soon to be called Paul, comes into the picture. So my whole point here is not only can we learn from Stephen's dying process to know that we're going to be encouraged and comforted at the moment that it's going to be taking place, but we can also realize that when people say they want to look to Stephen ministry, again, we see where religion takes the truth and twists it and turns it into something totally different. Because if you really wanted to be a Stephen minister and be compassionate, full of faith, and skilled in how you talk to people, just show them a rightly divided Bible, and you want to do these things, well, don't forget, you've got to tell them the truth of what's going on today. You've got to tell them the truth when they reject everything. And what is it that you're telling them? One more time. King James Bible, rightly divided, teaches the teachings of the risen Savior through Paul, through a rightly divided King James Bible, inspired and preserved as promised. And that which is perfect is come, and it's come. They're not going to be happy with what your Stephen ministry consists of. So there's your quick little break this morning. It just amazes me when I see things that other churches put out, their bulletins, their programs, their little writings. Here's this bookmark, and how so far from the scriptures they are. They are so far from it. And yet people seek to go to these churches. They seek these pastors. They seek these Stephenites for their comfort, and they can get it all from a King James Bible. It's really amazing what's going on.